Looking at the topic tonight, it is time. It is time. Psalm 119 will begin in verse 121. Psalm 119, 121. Amen. And Brother Steve, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Father in heaven, we thank you for allowing us to be together here tonight. Thank you for this, all these wonderful testimonies.
Amen.
Of the love for the Lord Jesus Christ and the knowledge of what he's done for us. Yes. And the unfolding of a grateful heart that wants to express the thankfulness of what you've done for us. And I'm honored, and I don't deserve to be with such a great group of people. Thank you for forgiving my sins and cleansed me up and washed me up and enabled me to stand amongst a people, another group of people that's forgiven. And, thank you for all the opportunities you give us, Lord, to show the world who you are through our love for other people. Though we fail miserably, we are excited, though, for those times when you have success, when we have the willingness to avail ourselves to you, to be used as you. And are just thankful, Lord, for your faithfulness to us. And now as we enter into your word, Lord, I pray you just give pastor the word to preach, to say, to clearly illustrate the message you have for us, Lord, for us tonight. And we're just thankful people. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Psalm 119 and verse 121. Psalm 119, 121. I have done judgment and justice. Leave me not to mine oppressors. Be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. Mine eyes fail for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy and teach me thy statutes. I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. In verse 126 is what got my attention in this chapter. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. How do we respond? How do we respond to a nation that has become so lawless? Have you ever been watching a sporting event and someone fouled someone else and the referee didn't see it? Have you ever seen a competition like that? And has your flesh ever thought, well, that isn't fair? And then did you see another flagrant foul like that and the referee didn't call it? And inside your flesh, did you think, well, if that's the way the other team wants to play, then your team needs to get in there and play the same way? That's what the flesh wants to do, doesn't it? It's like, oh, well, if that coach is going to teach his guys to play on the edge and over, then our team just needs to get in there and start doing the same thing. I mean, don't let them push all over you. That's what the flesh wants to do, doesn't it? The flesh, so easily. So, I have the first point is this. It is time to, and then I left a blank. It is time to blank when someone else will not play by the rules. How would you fill in the blank? It is time to do what? When someone else will not play by the rules. What would you insert in that? You'll see it, as I said, in sports. You'll see it in the business world. You'll see that. There might be somebody in business that likes to do shady practices, and they might be a competitor to your business. And you may think, well, that's not fair that they're getting away with that. It's not right, whether some of you are in building trades, and maybe you know somebody that's, of course, now there's so many inspectors, I don't know how you'd do it, but get away with something shady. We see it in our government. Verse 126, it is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. I mean, we saw this in the latest elections. There is so much, so many people have risen up and said, this is what happened in our polling place. And some of those things trickled up to judges, and the judges threw it out. It's like, doesn't anybody care? Well, if the other side is not going to play by the rules, how are we going to fill in the blank? What are we going to do? The same thing can happen in your home. Maybe your brothers and sisters. Maybe you try to do something that dad and mom don't know. You know, it's like maybe when dad and mom are around, they're really gushy to them. They're angels. But when dad and mom are not around, they go over the line. But maybe dad and mom doesn't know because maybe that sibling is kind of gushy flattery and maybe knows how to really put on a good show. And you're thinking, that isn't fair. You probably all have seen it. You're watching somebody else's children play. And somebody else, one of the children beat up on the one. And the parents come in just at the wrong time. When the one that was being abused is clobbering, you know, the bad guy. And so the one that was being oppressed is the one that gets in trouble. But maybe part of it is the retaliation. And, of course, that is a part of it. But this can be not just children, but this can be between parents and children, between children and parents. God told us that's why he would send Elijah and Malachi to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. And so we see this. We can even see this between husbands and wives. It's like, you're not going to play by the rules? Well, I can play the same game. We see that happen. So what should we do? The husband may say, well, but my wife isn't following what God tells her to be. So how are you going to fill in the blank? Or vice versa. The wife says, well, my husband isn't following God's word, what God tells him to be. So how are you going to fill in the blank? What are you going to do? Are you going to say, well, I can play the same game too? Or what are you going to do? So what happens is this. In the political realm, what you have, especially amongst Christians, is that, oh, well, that side is not going to play by the rules. Well, I'm going to pray God will judge them. You know, like James and John. You know, Lord, send down fire from heaven and consume them. But funny thing is God doesn't often answer that prayer, does he? He doesn't. So what are we to do? How are we going to fill in the blank? And so what happens between siblings, especially siblings that are saved, when they see what's going on, they may begin to pray, Lord, would you please chasten them? They're doing wrong. Would you chasten them? And it might be the other way too. Husbands and wives, it might be both ways. In the book of Psalms, you'll have some prayers that God would judge. Those are called imprecatory psalms. God, would you cause judgment to fall from heaven? And so you can have people that normally love each other that are praying imprecatory prayers against each other. God, would you judge that one? Would you chasten that one? You know what often happens in those situations? God doesn't judge either one of them. And so you have two people that are mad at each other, and now they're mad at God because God won't do as they ask. So you know what? That's a world where you create your own jail cell, your own bars. You alienate yourself from the people you love, and then you alienate yourself from God himself. So what is the key to this, verse 126? It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Well, when you see a verse you have a question about, the best thing to do is look at the context. Look at the verses before and the verses after. Well, let's look at the verse before. That's verse 125. It says, I am what? Thy servant. Well, whose servant? God's, the Lord's. I am thy servant. There is the first key. I am thy servant. You know, more than being a servant to anyone else, we are a servant to God. In other words, he's the boss. I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimony. So number one, how are we going to fill in the blank? Whether it's our relationship to the government, our relationship when playing a sporting event to someone else that's not playing by the rules. Like Christmas has just passed. Maybe you played a game with someone of some sort with the family and they didn't play by the rules and you became upset. So what are you going to do? Well, if you're not going to play by the rules, neither am I. No, the number one is humility. How are we going to fill in the blank? Somebody else is not playing by the rules. The government, the sports team, somebody in the family, somebody at work. The whole world seems like doesn't play by the rules. Fill in the blank by number one, personal humility. Personal humility. Verse 125, I am thy servant. I'm talking to God. I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know what? Thy testimony. So the whole situation is not against the person who's not playing by the rules that is in your life somehow. The whole focus is not on people, it's what? On God. God, I am thy servant. Give me understanding. Teach me thy statutes. Nothing said against the person that is oppressing you in some way. It's all upward. I'm your servant, Lord. Give me understanding. Teach me thy statutes. So the first thing, the first attitude is personal humility. Lord, I'm facing a hard thing in life. Please teach me. Please give me understanding. So that number one is humility, personal humility. Number two, a greater personal love for the Word of God. A greater personal love for the Word of God. So we read verse 25, humility. Verse 26 is our 126 is our focus. Let's go to verse 127. We're looking at the context. What surrounds the verse? Verse 127, therefore I what? Love thy commandments. Above what? Gold. Yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem what? All thy precepts concerning what? All things to be what? Right. And I hate every false way. Oh, there's a lot in that verse we can learn. So, fill in the blank. Somebody else is not playing by the rules in my life. Should I fill in the blank like, well, then I can play the same game? Or am I going to fill in that blank by personal humility? Not focusing my anger and frustration on any other person, but focusing myself on God. I'm your servant, Lord. Please give me understanding. Please teach me thy statutes. And with that attitude, then verse 127, therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. And then verse 128, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. You see, when we get in a situation where we are being oppressed and somebody else is not following the rules, you know what we tend to do? The flesh wants to not follow the rules. The flesh wants to get even. But verse 128, the opposite should be happening. You know, it's like, well, God, it's obvious. I'm right, and they're wrong. So, God, if you're not going to judge them like I've asked you nicely to do, then if evidently you don't care. Evidently you don't care that people don't play by the rules. And if you don't care if people don't play by the rules, then I guess I won't play by the rules. Isn't that what the flesh wants to say? Yes. But you know, the opposite will happen if we have that personal humility and that personal, that greater personal love for the Word of God. If we don't take that attitude, you know what an oppressing situation can do? It can cause us to love the Word of God even more. You know, if we respond in that way, in verse 128, it says, therefore I esteem all thy precepts. You know what each of us like to do? We like to write an excuse slip. Well, I know, God, I know that would work for most everyone else in their situation. But God, you understand that I'm in a particularly hard situation. You know, God, you know everything, Lord. And you know that I really deserve an exception slip, an excuse slip, because my situation is different. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever thought that? Of course, everyone thinks that. It's easy to tell someone else, well, this is what the Word of God says. But when you're facing it yourself, it's a whole different ballgame, isn't it? It's a whole different situation. And so we have to get that down, verse 120. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be what? Right. We'll never come to that point if we don't have, number one, the personal humility. Lord, I'm your servant. Please give me understanding. Please teach me thy statutes. I'm not going to fill in the blank with, well, they're not obeying the rules. Well, watch me. I can do the same thing. No. No. I'm going to love your commandments, verse 127. And verse 128, here's the thing. No excuse slips. Lord, don't write me an excuse slip. I don't want it. Because I esteem all your precepts, everything that applies to me in my life, in my situation, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. I'm not asking you, God, to judge anyone else. I'm asking you to teach me how to keep your law even more. And I hate every false way. You know how you can arrive at that point where you can hate every false way? Verse 125, by personal humility. And then verse 127, by a greater personal love for the Word of God, because this is what happens. When we will obey God, He gives the peace that passes all understanding, whether other people respond or not. You know, part of our great pain in life is when we refuse to obey God and forgive. And we self-inflict ourselves with so much pain. I mean, who would ever take a hammer and pound, ow, pound, ow, pound, ow, pound, ow? You know, that's what we do when we will not forgive. That's what we do. We're beating ourselves up. That's what we're doing. But if we respond, it's like this has been a year. I find certain principles as I read through the Bible, and you know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, just acknowledging the Lord in everything, and it's been so exciting, that journey. But another journey I've been on is just, well, let's go to Matthew 25. Matthew 25 is every time the flesh wants to bristle and say, you know, some remark to someone about, you know, not wanting to do this, or maybe even not saying something, but just thinking it inside. Well, I'm not going to do that. In Matthew 25, 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye what? Gave me meat. You know, it's not that thing about, you know, we were here on, was that the Thanksgiving Christmas fellowship? It was somewhere in between. So a couple stopped here at the end and had a strange request. We've had people stop and ask for gas money, grocery money. We get calls to pay their gas bills, their house payments, all kinds of things. This couple said, the guy said, I have a job I have to do tomorrow, but I don't have any cash. And my wife is working tomorrow, and we do not have the money for her for food for lunch tomorrow. That's all we're asking. Do you have anything, any food? Well, we were just cleaning up from the fellowship, and so there were some sandwiches left here, so we gave them some sandwiches. I thought, that is the strangest request we've ever had. I mean, they try to pull, we've had people pull in here in fancy pickup trucks asking for gas money. It's hard to feel sorry for somebody driving a $50,000 truck that's asking for gas money. But I was an hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me what? Drink. You know what our thoughts are so many times? We think of so many reasons not to help people. That's what we're good at. Well, they're not perfect, so I'm not going to help. Are we perfect? Far from it. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? These righteous people are saying, I don't ever remember doing any of these things for you, Lord. Are you sure you don't have the wrong person? Verse 40, and the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of who? The least of these my brethren, ye have what? Done it unto me. I've tried to really think about that a lot this year. You know, there are so many things in a day's time where we come across and we may think, well, that's somebody else's responsibility. That there's a need there, but that's somebody else's responsibility. It's not mine. Or this or that. And it can be just the littlest things around the house. You know, maybe it's the Kleenex box empty, or the toilet paper roll almost empty, or something's on the floor, or whatever. Or maybe you're at the store and someone knocked something down in the floor and didn't pick it up. Maybe it's an article of clothing. Maybe somebody dropped something off one of the shelves and it's not my job. I don't work here. They don't pay me. You know what I've tried to think is this passage, Matthew 25. If this was Jesus' store, Would I pick that up? I sure would, and I wouldn't even have to think about it. I'd pick it up. If this were Jesus' house and something was about used up or totally used up or something was on the floor, if this was Jesus' house, would I tend to that? Of course I would. I wouldn't even have to think about it. I would. Why? Because it's for Jesus. You know, that thought can transform our lives and relationships with people. If we start looking, and I'm not advocating falling down and worshiping other people, don't get me wrong, but think of it this way. Every time there's a need, think, if this was Jesus, would I do it? It won't take you very long to figure it out, will it? It's real quick. And it's the same way for people that are oppressing us. And of course, Jesus is never going to oppress us. But if we look at the relationship in that light, it makes all the difference in the world. You know, if we try to fight these battles, which are often spiritual battles, if we try to fight them in the flesh, you know what we're going to end up with? A Middle East situation. Let's go to Genesis 16:11. Genesis 16:11. You might think, what is wrong with those people? Why are they always fighting? I just heard, I don't know if it was yesterday, that Israel bombed some, I don't know if it was in Syria again, and maybe it was another location too. Why are those people always at each other? Genesis 16:11. An angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and thou and shalt bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be what? A wild man. His hand will be against who? Every man. And every man's hand against him. And here's the clincher. And he shall what? Dwell in the presence of who? All his brethren. He just won't leave. He just won't move. He just wants to stay there and fight, fight, fight. This is the children of Ishmael. God prophesied they would be wild and that they would not want to move away, would not be willing. And the reason those battles never end is because they're never submitted to God. That fact, filling in the blank with personal humility, and then having a greater personal love for the Word of God. Notice with me in Ephesians 6, verse 10. Ephesians 6:10. What we're going to find is if we fail in this area, our battles are never going to end. And that's because we're trying to fight them. We're trying to fill in the blank like, oh, you want to play that game? So can I. That battle's never going to end. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in who? In the Lord. And in the power of what? His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of who? God. That ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, not lawlessness, truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, not lawlessness, righteousness. Not filling in the blank like, I can play the same game. Verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And then on down it goes through there. So how do you fight? How are you going to fill in the blank? This year is almost over. If the Lord tarries is coming in 2021, sooner or later it's going to happen. You're going to run into someone at work, in the government, hopefully not at home, but maybe somewhere you're going to run into someone that's not playing by the rules, in particular, God's rules. What are you going to do? Well, I'd encourage you to fill in the blank, number one. In fact, let's go back there for a moment in closing here. In Psalm 118. Psalm 118. And once again, in verse 125. Psalm 118, 125. I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. So that personal humility. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. You know, if we will submit to that, we can have peace and victory right now, despite whoever else's attitude we're dealing with. We can have the peace that passes all understanding. So may God help us to pray for our nation. Our key to this as Christians in our nation, yes, the other side is not playing by the rules. Not by the Constitution, not by God's law, and not even by common sense. But they're deceived, that's why. So let us not try to retaliate in the same fashion. Let us draw nigh to God and even love His commands more. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, I pray you'd help us. This old flesh likes to get even with people. This old flesh doesn't like it when people don't play by the rules and then expect us to. Reminds us, Lord, about this world. The world wants the United States to play by the rules, but most of the world does not want to play by the rules themselves. Lord, help us not to be in the flesh, but in the spirit. So, Father, I pray you'd help us. Lord, maybe the Holy Spirit has spoken to our hearts tonight about maybe we've been filling in the blank, saying, you want to do it that way? So can I. Maybe it's time for us to get on our knees before you and get right with you and confess our own sin and get our focus off from people on you. And then you can give the peace that passes all understanding. Lord, I pray that these times would help us to love your word even more and to obey it even more, to learn it more, to learn more about how to please you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.